From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Boston, where when COVID shutdowns began last year, students were sent home and tourists basically vanished. Think about a place like Harvard Square, which depends on both. Local businesses were feeling pretty nervous. Now, more than a year later, GBH's Liz Nieslaus has been checking back in to see how the iconic square weathered the darkest months of the pandemic. Hey, Liz, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Arun. It's really nice to be with you.
So, 1 year later, tell us what you found in Harvard Square.
Well, students are starting to come back. All of them are expected back in August, but already there are a lot more than there used to be in the streets. And there are for rent signs here and there. But with the nice weather and with people sitting outside, it all looks pretty promising. Let me take you back just quickly a year ago when COVID shut down the Harvard Square area. The cancellations were flooding in to Teo Sorce's salon.
Hello, everyone. Come and have a haircut. We're going to be okay.
So as you can hear, she's really quick to laugh. That's part of who she is. And back then, she was trying to be optimistic. But salons everywhere were hard hit, Arun. And for Teo Sorce, it really turned into a brutal year. COVID killed several of her family members, including her pregnant sister-in-law back in Brazil. And then on top of that, her business practically dried up. I caught up with her again just this past weekend.
Well, it started to get better, a little better, but...
So she literally had to stop talking. I think just the weight of everything from the past year. So she just stopped speaking and pulled herself together. But she's really very determined. And some clients have started coming back for her expertise with curly and wavy hair. And, you know, she's been nimble. During COVID, she's been preparing mixes of color for clients to use at home. But she absolutely knows there's a long struggle ahead. She's got to clear debt and rebuild.
Wow. And that's, I think, familiar to a lot of people, sadly, right now.
Yeah.
Tell us about the restaurant scene there, places to eat. Are they holding up?
Well, not surprisingly, some 6 restaurants folded, but about the same number have opened. And there are definitely a lot more patio spaces than there ever were, nearly a dozen new ones. And it's the kind of pandemic adjustment that looks like it will stay. But, you know, overall, it's just easier for food businesses to adapt than, say, for a salon, which had many more restrictions. So just downstairs from the salon, there's a small bagel shop that I had visited a year ago. That was a total contrast recently to the salon. This past Saturday, there was this long, meandering line of customers waiting outside Black Sheep Bagels. But, you know, they've come a long way since a year ago. College students, when they were first going home, the owner of Black Sheep Bagels, Manny Ramirez, was really nervous. And what happened was his sales did tank for the first 2 months of the shutdowns. They tanked about 60%. And they had more than a dozen employees. And he and his wife and partner, Shoshana Garber, they really wanted to keep those employees. They took PPP money and some Cambridge grants. But rather than taking on more loans, they dug into their savings, and the cafe became what's now a familiar pandemic term, a grab-and-go, and they really scaled back their menu.
We decided, you know, hunker down, stay open, and try to navigate through COVID, keep our staff entirely, which successfully we did. And the first 2 months were pretty crazy, pretty chaotic, and, you know, it balanced through. Our customers came through for us. The neighborhood really came through for us. The city was a ton of help.
So in some cases, Arun, survival really depended on help from landlords. Harvard Square Business Association Executive Director Denise Gilson claimed that the majority of landlords were willing to negotiate rents, including some who agreed to take only a percentage of store revenue as rent.
76% are locally owned independent, so the decision makers are right here on the ground in Harvard Square, and they were nimble, and they were flexible, and they were creative, and they were energetic, and they hung on tight. And that's made all the difference in the world.
Gilson said of the 291 businesses that were open pre-pandemic, roughly 85% have survived in Harvard Square.
Wow. And, you know, comparing to the rest of the state, the rest of the country, you know, it's not great, but that's pretty good.
It is. It really, I think it speaks to a lot of factors that came in, the grants, the loans, the supports, the compromises. So it was really a very large effort.
How does it look now? Does it look basically the same or substantially different from a year ago?
Well, you know, aside from the for rent signs here and there, there are other signs that show the pandemic's impact in the square. With reduced capacity in shelters during the pandemic, many more homeless came to Harvard Square. You know, you probably know around Cambridge in general has a reputation of being accepting and even generous to the homeless. Mm-hmm. So back in October, Harvard Square set up a lot of services that you can still see. You've got trailers for free showers. You have portable toilets, free plugins for phones. And, you know, I asked Harvard Square's Jilson about this. And, it might seem like an uneasy mix when you're trying to draw back visitors to business. But Jilson made the point that Harvard Square is like a village. And, you know, it's just part of the character of the community. She said she's grateful to be part of that community, putting the vulnerable in the forefront. And Arun, she said, those services are going to stay as long as they're needed.
Well, Liz, I got to say, I was expecting this to be a good deal darker. And, you know, to end on that and a note about community and the amount of businesses that made it through, this was really nice to hear about. And great reporting on top of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
That's GBH reporter Liz Niesloss. Before I go, I should tell you what else is up. Officials may have ruled the death of a Black Hopkinton teen a suicide, but her family is rejecting that conclusion. Michaela Miller was found hanging from a tree in the woods near her home last month. Her family is now being represented by civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump, who says Michaela's death is suspicious and too many questions remain unanswered.
Proof and transparency are the cornerstones for accountability and some small measure of justice.
Middlesex District Attorney Marion Ryan has said an investigation into Miller's death remains open and active. Miller's family is calling for an independent FBI probe. Now, let's switch gears. As we've talked about here, there's a labor shortage as we inch towards reopening. Christopher Geerin is the executive vice president of the Associated Industries of Massachusetts. He says the shortage is affecting nearly every industry.
The structural issues exist throughout the economy, and that's something that in the long term we're going to have to deal with things like job training and trying to move workers with one set of skills to jobs requiring another set of skills.
And finally, let's go out on a bit of a lighter, poppier note. You're listening to the sound of Korean K-pop band Solid. Members of the group are at Berklee College of Music this week for the institution's inaugural K-pop Summit. Berklee professor Hae-joon Kim advised the student group that organized the summit. She says the hope was to show the influence of the genre.
One is to celebrate Korean music. Second is to educate the broader community. And the third is to offer insight, including practical advice into the craft of K-pop writing and producing, and, you know, or maybe career advice in the industry.
All right. In the spirit of celebration, let's hear some more. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since K-pop and some long overdue respect, I'm Arun Roth. We'll talk tomorrow. So, you're a podcast listener, obviously. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? Search for WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just the local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts coverage, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.